and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by Ariel.
Hey, everyone.
And John.
Hey, everybody.
It's Gouda Brie, a good day when we've got an episode that's all about food. And this one is going to make you believe in magic. Too on the nose, too cheesy. You'll hear all about it after a brief ad. Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. It's no secret, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Most tech is too complicated. There are too many time-consuming tasks, and teams aren't getting the info they need to close deals and connect with customers. Don't worry, HubSpot's customer platform can help. It was built to save time and make your job easier, so you can get back to building your business. No more hours wasted on time-consuming tasks. No more chasing down prospect info. No more one system for this, another for that. HubSpot can help you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights you need to convert them to customers, all in one place. Plus, HubSpot AI can literally do more of your work for you, so you can focus more on scaling your business. Because HubSpot knows you have some big growth goals, and they're here to make your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better. So today in the tank, we have Rebel Cheese. And Rebel Cheese is brought to us by founders Fred and Kristen. And they are asking for $750,000 for 5% in their business, which is a whopping $15 million valuation. Whole lot of cheese for the cheese.
La Gouda.
So Rebel Cheese is an artisan vegan cheese company. Essentially, the entire premise is they want to invite vegans back to the picnic again. And so they're using really age-old artisan techniques like cave aging to basically turn vegan cheese into a tasty delight that even cheese lovers can't help but devour. So,
Jory, can I just ask? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Is it artisan or artesian? And does anybody know the difference between artisan and artesian?
Ooh.
Is it artisan?
I always thought the artisan was the one who makes the art.
Mm. Oh, well, then I will just say using artisanal techniques like cave aging.
Because I only deal with artisanal cheeses.
We've got
You know.
Oh,
John surrounds himself with artisanal person cheeses.
I want artisanal everything. Why not?
Yep. And so that tells me that you have big opinions on cheese. So, John, thinking about our product today, what are you thinking?
Do I have big opinions on cheese? You cheddar believe it.
Oh, my gosh. The dad jokes.
Great start.
I'm on parental leave. I'm telling good dad jokes right now. Thanks for noticing,
yep,
Ariel.
It's 10 out of 10.
I'm pumped.
I love it.
So, thoughts on Rebel Cheese?
I really like this concept. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions, I think, about the business itself and how they're going to go to market and how quickly they can scale and what they even need a shark for. And so I do have questions around that, but purely from a product perspective, I love it. And I think one of the things that I would just start with is I think it has a great brand name. Mm. And I think that the brand logo is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it just evokes a lot of things from our culture. It gives it an edge of like different, like being called Rebel Cheese. It reminded me of Star Wars a lot. I could really envision them like putting together a whole Star Wars thing.
Partnership.
Yeah. Like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
And then it's cave aging. Boom. You know, we've got branding.
Yeah. So I thought the branding was just really strong. And this whole thing seems to rely on whether the cheese itself is actually good.
Right.
Because I think that's the challenge with vegan cheeses is it's hard to get flavor and consistency.
Sure.
And somehow they've totally seemed to figure that out. You know, 3 out of the 4 sharks were like, this is unbelievable and tastes almost identical, especially the brie. And so to me, I think this is a growing market. I think this is a really good product. I think it's got a great brand name. And really, it's just about whether they are going to put the right focus on how to scale it and whether it would be a good investment or not.
Such a good point on the consistency. Have you guys ever tried vegan cheese before? It's
Big
always
Daya
the
fan.
Consistency when you melt it or if you made like pizza. I had a vegan roommate and that was like the biggest thing was when we would go grocery shopping is trying to find food that we both could enjoy during COVID times that like both of us could eat.
True.
So we'd make a lot of at-home pizzas and always the cheese would never melt or wouldn't taste as good when you substitute it with tofu. So I think this is a very underserved need in this market right now. I think my only question that I kind of had going into them is that it seems like they have so many different channels of distribution. Mm-hmm. They have their e-commerce, the brick and mortar. So it's just very curious to understand where are their main areas of success going into this and where are they going to continue to focus on? Because e-commerce is very different than upholding like a brick and mortar type business.
Yeah. I think focus is the right thing to dig in on, Ariel.
Yeah.
To me, they have both too many products. Mm-hmm. It seems as though they have many different cheeses that they produce. And it sounds like they have like an absolute hit in the brie.
Yes.
I kind of wonder why they don't just go all in on the brie and become known as the most amazing vegan brie.
Yeah.
And they have too many channels, to your point. Right now, they're making most of their money, like 65% of their revenue comes from this store in Austin where they sell the storefront. And that's going to have to shrink to like almost zero if they really want to scale this business. And any time and effort that they personally spend like building the storefront out is probably going to come at a cost of growing their direct-to-consumer or wholesale channel. And so I would honestly, if I were them, consider shutting that store down, even though I'm sure it's amazing and I'm sure they have really loyal customers. Do a deal with Whole Foods in Austin, get it in Whole Foods and just move on.
Just go straight to retailer.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a couple of threads about scale that we're digging into. And I was curious, just like as a thought exercise, I know that there's definitely people that are looking for lactose-free alternatives to delightful cheese. Do you think that their focus, though, is too niche? If you were brought on as a marketer, are you trying to change dietary behaviors here? Because again, they seem to be like, oh, we're trying to invite vegans back to the picnics again. So are you trying to change the consumer habits of picnickers in general? Or should they really just level in on their persona, like just the vegans, in order to ultimately scale their business? Which way would you go?
Yeah, I actually don't think they're too niche. I think there's a lot of folks that may have a lactose intolerance or that aren't particularly vegan, or those dipping their toes in veganism from like vegetarianism. So I think even when you go into the shelf at the grocery store, there's always like a 4 to 8 foot section of too good for you cheese or tofurkey. So I do believe that that general trend of eating towards plant-based foods doesn't actually pose as much of a risk of being too niche as it would have maybe like 5 or 10 years ago.
Totally fair.
So I think it's good time for the market based off of the trend.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the one thing that is very focused in their business is their like core target customer. Mm-hmm. There's estimates online, vegans make up somewhere around 1% of the US population or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at like just as a starting point of like 30 million target customers. Plus there's a halo effect because anyone who has a vegan roommate or a vegan friend, and that group, that target customer tends to be a premium paying customer.
Right.
You look at their market, veganism is a big market. Mm-hmm. And is growing. It's a premium market and they're very focused on that premium market. And they're not trying to like build a mass market cheese. They're just trying to stay at a premium cheese. And so then it's really just a question of focus on their distribution channels and on the actual products they build for that really focused consumer.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And in terms of cost benefit, they really are doing a good job at maintaining the market value of what a brie would cost a normal consumer. We start to get a look at their numbers and they're retailing their brie for like $15 to $20 per wheel, they mentioned, when they're actually selling it directly to a consumer. And that's like on par with a normal brie. So it could also just inherently change consumer behaviors because it's actually not that more expensive versus just a normal brie you'd buy at the store.
Tends to last longer, tends to be more shelf stable.
That's
like
true.
I actually buy a lot of vegan food when it is comparable in consistency and quality. Pesto is a good example. We eat a lot of pesto. We buy a lot of pre-made pesto. We buy the vegan pesto. It lasts much longer than, you know, pesto with cheese in it.
Good pro tip, shoppers.
Yep.
Yeah. Get your pre-made pesto.
Get your vegan pesto, folks.
Although I guess there's that TikTok trend that's like, don't buy your pre-made pesto. Yeah, there was a whole
What's wrong with that? Why am I off trend?
No, John is concerned.
Am I not artisanal? I thought I was being artisanal.
You got to make your own these days, John.
Holy moly.
Yeah,
what is this? Why?
Jarred pesto.
How did I miss this?
It's a whole trend last year, John. Keep with it.
That's bad. I'm always so far behind.
But speaking of last year, Rebel's Cheese is doing really well. Last year's sales, 2.5 million, and they're projected to make 3.5 million this year. This was a most recent episode. They're about to break even. So to speak to your points, like the market is very there and there's clearly a demand for this. We saw two sharks jump on board and it was really interesting because Mark, I think, was like in it from the beginning. He was like, yeah, let's get this deal on the road. But Lori was like, wait, I'm here. And we actually find that Lori works with Bordery. Mm-hmm. You can get anything online these days. So she has like a charcuterie delivery business, which is projected to hit 30 million in retail sales this year, which is huge. So she wanted to partner with Rebel Cheese because they didn't have a vegan option. So again, speaking to like the demand, they're really in a good spot. And so we saw the dynamic duo team up again. Mark and Lori offered $750,000 for 10% in the business.
Yeah.
So two sharks on board, made the deal.
I'll just say, I think that is an extremely fair offer to get.
Yeah.
I think it's generous from the Sharks.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say 2 Sharks for 10%. Yeah. Like it was, I mean,
they did $2.5 million in revenue last year, and through their wholesale channel, which is really where all their growth is going to come in the future, they get 50% gross margins before any sales, marketing costs, you know, other expenses. So $2.5 million top line, I can't imagine they're putting off much cash, and to get a $7.5 million valuation means the product must be very good. I thought it was a great offer for the founders to get.
Especially with the Bordery partnership too, because I think, John, to your point, it does force them to focus on their top 4 to 5 SKUs and really lean into those and like push that forward and maybe focus less on having a wider range of SKU offerings and really focus on what they do right.
Yeah.
So we have the Bordery partnership. I have to ask, if you were brought on today as a consultant for Rebel Cheese, how are you marketing this? How are you marketing vegan cheese? What's your angle?
I would say there are a lot of fun cooking videos, very short form video content of what you can like replace everyday meals with like vegan cheese.
Make with
how
it.
Do you create like a holiday version of your meals for like the vegetarians and vegans in your family? It's a food product. It's kind of hard to market when you can't really taste it.
Sure.
Besides doing in-store sampling, which Mark mentioned, I'll go to the stores in Austin and pass out samples. So it's really one of those products where like the taste kind of has to speak for itself.
Yeah, I think it depends how good the product really is. There's an old debate in Silicon Valley, which I think has now been proven wrong, that like the product should be good enough that you don't have to invest in marketing. You have to count big time on word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to trust that vegans will tell each other like, oh my God, you have to try this. And so I would put all of my dollars actually just into getting it in as many stores as possible. I think you just need to get that like word of mouth flywheel spinning and then just ensure that you're in all the stores nationwide that you need to be in so that you can reach that consumer. And I think that's all you need to do.
A lot of their distribution is very like direct to consumer. Do you see any path of success that would be like more B2B? Because they did mention they have like their brick and mortar store, but that got me thinking about having this as an alternative that restaurants could turn to, or do you think that would be too risky?
Maybe. I think in order to win in a restaurant, you really probably need to have really good brand recognition.
Fair. Okay.
Because there has to be a premium for it. I think that restaurants look to buy in bulk. There's no profit in a restaurant. And so restaurants don't have a ton of money to throw around into like purchasing, you know. Yeah, exactly. And so there could be a path there, but I would let like that channel come to you as the founder versus like trying to put your energy into building that channel. Like eventually there'll be enough demand for it from restaurants that I think they could draw you into that channel and then you could serve
it. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, ultimately, Rebel Cheese walks away with a Shark Tank deal and hopefully will be featured on a vegan charcuterie board coming to, you know, little charcuterie near you. So definitely successful.
I love when the rebels win.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Star Wars reference.
We're looking for that licensing deal in the future. Take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave, AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.